We're going to be back in Genesis 12, if you would take your Bibles there. Genesis 12. Anytime we open to Genesis, it's always hard to keep your Bible open, isn't it? Always wanting to close. It's so close there. Genesis 12, several weeks ago, if you can recall, we started a message and titled it, Trust the Process, and trusting the process of what God is doing in and around your life. I hope you are. Genesis 12, we began and looked at Abram. Abram came and popped on the scene here in Genesis 12, and he's mentioned throughout the rest of the Bible, the entire Bible, all the way to the end. He's mentioned and talked about Abram, the great man of faith. And so we saw several things last time about how that he trusted the precept, he trusted the process, he trusted the promises of God in his life. And we went throughout several things we won't rehash here, but looking about and looking to this. Now, it coincides greatly with what we've been looking at in the book of Philippians. In Philippians 1, Paul tells the church there again to what? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's God's going to take care of you if you'll stay faithful and stay true to Him. He's going to continue to remain faithful. He will not stop. So if He'll do that, we ought to remain faithful and keep Him going. One of the best qualities, as we said, in the Christian is the dependability or the faithfulness that you can give to God and trust Him with that. Trust Him with your life. Show up. Just be faithful. And you'll be amazed at what God will do to the faithful servant of God. Genesis 12, as we looked at several things, He went about and we read through most of it. You know, there was a famine, verse number 10, in the land. Abram went down to Egypt. He went down as a picture of the world. Egypt is a picture of the world. And there's problems that come, and the Egyptians see his wife, and they desire his wife. They almost kill Abram at the time. And the things are made clear to him that it was his wife, and they let him go. As they come out of Egypt, though, you know, they obtain a young girl by the name of Hagar. And Hagar will, although a very sweet young gal, no doubt, very kind, she becomes a problem. And what happens there, and ultimately it was the pushing of Sarah to conceive there that child Ishmael. Now we come back, now let's go to chapter 13. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place which his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now just briefly here, first of all, as he comes up out of Egypt, he goes right to the altar that he had set up in the beginning. And for a great picture for us as believers tonight is that when we come up out of the world, if you do go to the world, you go right to the altar of God and come back to the altar. Come back to where God, you first met God and established your relationship with God, because you're going to see this many more places to come, this Bethel, the house of God that he comes to. He goes back to the altar. We know and see it. He goes all the way through many chapters. Chapter 35 even, it shows that Jacob, as you know, goes to Bethel, and he has an encounter there, you know, with God. Remember the night he spent there, and he laid his head down, and he saw that vision ascending and descending and all those things. Chapter 35, you don't have to turn there, but it says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Go back, he says, go up to Bethel. I'll make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Where God answered you, where God speaks to you, go back to that place. And for us today, it's not a specific location, but it's a place. We come to the Word of God. We spend time with Him in this place. This place is very significant, and we know that. Now, for Jacob, in that instance, he took the and made stones and took those stones and put them, and it says, for a pillow. First time in Scripture, and I don't know if maybe the only time, the word pillow is used, and we all need our pillows, don't we? But it says, and I found it so interesting, Jacob took the pillow, the rocks he made as a pillow, and then it says he rose up and he made it a pillar as an altar. And just a great picture for us, what we find, we look for pleasure or for rest and relaxation. God's looking for us to worship Him and spend time there. Anyways, so back in Genesis 13, so Abram goes and finds the place. It goes back to the altar. As we're trusting God in this great process of life, we come back to where we met Him and stay consistent in that. You know that. And Lot went with him, verse number 5, had flocks, herds, and tents. And it says the land, verse 6, was not able to bear them. They could not dwell together. It was too great. It was too small of a location. And there was strife between the herdmen, the cowboys of Abram, the cowboys of Lot. There was strife and bitterness, fighting. Abram said unto Lot, verse 8, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between thy herdmen, my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. And then he says, choose which way. A great picture for two believers that ever have a strife or some kind of problem. The more mature one or more spiritual one is going to what? Is going to speak up first. Say, hey, listen, hey, you go, you pick. You do what you want to do. I am, whatever you choose, I'll go the other way, whatever you want. There's deference there in the man of God. Verse number 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain. A while back we looked at eyes. There's always a problem. We got to be careful what we look at, right? Be careful. Be careful where you go, what you see. The eyes cause you to sin many times. It causes us to go a different direction. He said he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. Well-watered, all that it looked for. Lot chose him out, the plain of Jordan. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. He came unto him. Now verse 14, notice, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward. Now notice that. God will show us what to look at. God will direct our eyes if we'll submit to Him. And if we choose to look at what we want to, we're going to end up in a place like Sodom, a pleasure-filled place just like Lot did. He says, I'll give it to you. Again, a reminder, verse 15, that God will remind us of His promises, remind us of His covenant. This is mentioned throughout this process we're going to look at here in the next few chapters. As we trust God with the process we're going through, we trust Him with where we're at, we trust Him with the people that we're surrounded with, He'll constantly remind us of His covenant, of His promises to us. What's for us today, we come back to the Word of God, and He always reminds us of His promises, of what He has in store for all of us. Paul says to the church at Philippi, don't forget, I'm confident of this very thing, church. He which had begun a good work in you will perform it. Stay faithful, stay focused, stay fruitful. He'll provide. Then there comes family problems in the life of a great saint of God. Some people say, oh, I wish I could be like the great saints of the past. I'd be careful what you wish for, because every saint in the Word of God, their life was marked by problems. Every one of them. Problems. Abraham had one of the toughest lives, if you read his, as we see here, his biography. One of the hardest lives to have, didn't he? Tough, difficult, problems. He took Lot with him as a young man, and he was like a father to him. Abraham didn't have any kids, so Lot was like a son to him. And Lot ended up what? Betraying him, right? Turning on him. You go throughout history, throughout this. You think of Noah. Noah, your dad Noah, right? How's he doing? You think of Noah in the Bible, though, right? His life was marked with problems, wasn't it? I mean, problem after problem after problem. Everything gets over with. The flood is done. They get out of the boat. They're the only people on planet Earth. Everything's fine. And what happened? Problems. His son Ham comes in. Causes problems, issues, difficulties. You continue through the book of Genesis, you find a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was probably the most spiritual man in the Word of God, hands down. Probably the most spiritual young man, growing young man into his elderly years, faithful to God. What was his life? Marked with problems. Issues and problems and difficulties, wasn't it? Constant. So think about this. When you have problems arise and issues in your life, don't throw in the towel and say, God, why me? Why are you allowing this? What do? We come back and say, well, I trust the process. If I'm right with God, living for Him in His perfect will, outside of sin, submitted to Him, crucified life, I can trust the Lord to lead my life. Now notice that. When these problems came, God renewed his covenant. He renewed it again. Abram, I know what you've been through. I know your problems. I want to renew you. Verse 15, all which thou seest, all this land, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. You want to underline that. Thy seed forever. This is Abram, no kids. Remember, it's like coming to us. I'm going to bless you and give you this and that. We go, Lord, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. The Lord may come and say, I want you to purchase this land and I want you to build a great church on it. We go, Lord, but we don't have any money. Lord, how are we going to do that? I want you to go and do something great for me and follow this path. And we'll go, Lord, I don't speak well in front of people. I'm not good at that. I can't do that. On and on you go. God says to Abram, notice again, he sees what you could be in his will and not how you see yourself. We said that many months ago. He sees what you could be and what you could accomplish and what he wants to do in your life and not how you see yourself at the present time. So again, trust him. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Arise, walk through the land, verse 17. Walk through it, he says. Look at the length and breadth. I'll give it unto thee. You mean this part over here too, Lord? Yeah, if you want it, I'll give it to you. It says, and then Abraham removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there, and notice, an altar unto the Lord. He's good at building altars, isn't he? Do you know what an altar is? Have you ever seen a real stone altar before? Anybody? Any of you? Well, it's amazing to see. You know, we seen some of those videos you gave me. Brother Adam gave me some of those. And you see some of those stone altars or pillars and things like that. And it's amazing to see. And God, by the way, desired what? He didn't want a fancy altar. He wanted one, he says, without tools. Men taking raw stones and placing them up. Just something of that nature. Why? So God would receive all the glory and not man. But the altar, he set up another altar unto God and said, this is where God spoke to me. This is where God is speaking to me. It's okay for us to build altars from time to time and set those up, markers in our lives. You know, Proverbs says, remove not the ancient landmark that thy father hath set. Why? They set it there for a reason. They put it there. It was a delineator, marked the land. And some young guy who doesn't know anything about the process that it took or whatever it was that they sacrificed to get that property, they come and just take it down. And we got to be careful about that. Set up some altars for your family, for those behind you to see that. God renews his covenant. Now chapter 14, it comes to this great chapter, and there's a bunch of wars and things going on. Chapter 4, we won't read it all, but for the sake of that, I can't pronounce any of these names, but there's a bunch of war. And notice verse 11 of chapter 14, they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah. These are two cities. And all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and his departed. Now again, Lot's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Again, this is the first time. The second time, you know what happens. After he's rescued by Abram with his family, his guys, and he comes, and you know, he comes and rescues Lot. Lot goes right back to Sodom again and messes up. And the angels have to come and literally take him by the hand and drag him out of the city and all of that. But again, just a picture of Lot's in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And by the way, he abandoned Abram and went his way to the world and went his own way. Now, Abram hears of this, chapter 14, verse 13. Verse 14, and Abram heard his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them and went by night, smote them, pursued them. He brought back, verse 16, all the goods. Also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. Abram goes after a man that has hurt him in the past. A great picture for us. Family members, family is family. Families are going to hurt, aren't they? But notice what Abram did. He said, well, good. I'm glad it'll teach him a lesson. Did he say that? No. I'm glad he got caught and captured. That's going to teach him a lesson. He needs that. Oh, that young man, he's so hard-headed, he don't listen to nobody. He's almost ruined his family. He's living down in Sodom. He's living in sin. That'll teach him a lesson. No, what'd Abram do? All right, let's go, guys. Let's go. He gets all his cattle men and his cowboys together and all those guys, they all knew what to do. And he said, let's go. We got to go out on a mission at night. And they go out and save Lot. Great picture for us. Help those that have treated you unfairly. They've treated you poorly and badly and unfair. They're unfair to you. You go and help them anyways. You do. Again, Abram's a great picture of God, the Father, that has been there. He sent his only begotten Son to help, to give his life for us, didn't he? He stood in the gap. He stood in the gap. Once again, after this, he renews his covenant. He renews his covenant. He gives assurance of the plan of God. And by the way, I don't want to gloss over chapter 14 of the great Melchizedek, king of Salem, but he is a great picture of, we know, our Lord and Savior. And he's representative in the Psalms. It talks about that. It talks about the great Melchizedek. He's after the order of Melchizedek. And you know, obviously, in the book of Hebrews as well, as Paul lays that out so clearly. So we see here a great picture of the Lord Jesus coming, and he brings forth bread and wine. He's the priest of the Most High God. He blesses him. Blessed be Abram of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and goes through all of that. Now, a couple things here in the last couple points here that we see the assurance of God's plan. He comes to him again in chapter 15 as Abram's going through his life, and many years are passing by, and so we think of this. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. And Abram said this, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now, again, reminding him of his great promise and covenant. Abraham says, Lord, you promised me this many, many years ago. Nothing's happening. You promised that we would have a good, whatever the case. You promised that we would have this and that. It hasn't happened yet. One of the hardest things in the Christian life, you know, is to be patient waiting on God. It's the hardest thing. More people fall by the wayside and are casualties to Christianity because of an impatience to God, aren't they? Just being impatient. Well, I don't see the church getting off the ground anytime soon. I don't see anything happening over there. I don't know about that. The impatience of the Christian. Don't get impatient. Trust his plan. Trust the process. God's at work. God's working. And again, the hardest things that you go through, the difficulties, are just the things you may need to help you get past a certain point, to develop the muscles in your spiritual walk, to be able to step up the next level, the assurance of God's plan, and going through these things. And he talks about these things, renews his promise. Chapter 15, I apologize for skipping verses like this, but just trying to get through some of this. And he says, unto thy seed, I'll give this land, verse 18, from the river Egypt and the great river, river Euphrates. Again, little side note here. Again, God promised them a vast portion over there in the Middle East, didn't he? Vast. From the river Egypt to the Euphrates. That is a vast, today it's about the size of New Jersey. That's all they have. That's not God's promise. Now again, very soon, we'll see Wednesday night again. Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to land right down smack dab in Jerusalem. And he's going to, by the way, take over all that he promised once again. There'll be that great battle, and all of those things we'll look at. But he's coming back. He's coming back, and he'll renew this and take this again. He has not cast Israel off. He set them aside for the time being, and he's dealing with the church primarily right now. But he will again renew and deal with Israel. But this was the land they were promised. This was all of it. And it sadly, the nation of Israel did not take advantage of that. Now chapter 16. Thank you for following along with me. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain child by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Bad idea. Bad idea. And she pushed him again to step outside of God's will. God has already renewed his covenant, or promised, or reminded Abram of his covenant at least three times. And now Sarai says, well, I don't see anything happening. You go on and let's do things our way. And Abram gives in and does this, and it becomes a problem. Till this very day, it's still a problem with Ishmael. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, notice, her mistress was despised in her eyes. There was problems. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Poor Hagar. You know, you're thinking about this poor girl. She's forced into this and agrees to it. And by the way, anytime a man has multiple wives, it's a bad thing, okay? That's not God's intention. In the beginning, it was one. Man came and corrupted that. You say, well, why did God approve of David having multiple wives? Well, God never approved of that. And by the way, you see David had problem after problem with all of those wives. So again, problems. And there's problems now. Hagar now sees Sarai in a bad light. Says, well, I'm carrying his seed, you know. I'm carrying the baby. What does she have to? She's trying to tell me what to do, and all the problems that you can think of that would arise in that relationship. And now she's cast out. She's dealt with hardly. Hagar, get out of here. We don't want you around here. You're not one of us. And all the things that happened. Verse 7. Notice this. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? Whither wilt thou go? And she said, I fled from the face of my mistress Sarai. The angel said of the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Verse 11, that behold, thou art with child, shalt bear a son, call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Again, just a reminder of, she says, go back and submit thyself. Submit. Yeah, but she did me. No, you go back, right? She was harsh with me. I didn't do anything wrong. Go back and submit thyself. The great picture. God desires the like-mindedness that Paul talks about in the book of Philippians. Like-minded. It happens when there's submission going on, hearts that are willing to return. But again, Sarah pushes Abram in a way to step outside of God's will. And you know, sometimes the closest people to you will cause you to step outside of God's will. If we're not careful, we got to be careful. And if someone very, very close to you says something that you don't believe is out in God's will, you spend time with the Lord. Lord, I don't know if that's right. He'll show you. The Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you. So the closest people sometimes will cause us to get out of God's will. You see it all throughout Scripture. Those people that come. You think of Job's wife. You remember what Job's wife said? Why don't you just curse God and die? That's not God's will. Job said what? Ah, you're speaking foolishly. Don't say that. And in the end, it says Job never blamed God foolishly, did he? Never. There were people in his life very close to him, the closest people that could cause that. We need to stay close to him and again come back to a covenant renewing, knowing God's promises, renewing. Chapter 17, he brings forth and he reminds him again. Notice verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy seed thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. We sing the song many times in Sunday school. You remember Father Abraham? Well, he's truly the father of us all, a great man of faith. A man that followed God by faith. He was, and his name was changed forever. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Nations of these, kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between thee, me and thee, and thy seed after generations, he says, and he goes on. Now we see here, again, just by the last point here, that God desires for us to stay in his will and trust his process. The problem is, as we said last week, is me. I'm going to mess it up. The reason why I'm not where I'm supposed to be sometimes is me, isn't it? God's promised us. He'll come back time and time again and say, hey, I want to remind you of my covenant. I want to remind you of what to do as a child. I want to remind you there's no excuses for any of us. I think by the age of about, 8, 9 years old, a kid already knows what he's supposed to be doing biblically, don't you? They know that. They need a lot of training. I didn't realize that until I was about 20-something years old. But, you think about sometimes we're training properly, leading them in the scriptures. They know what to do. Very basic. There's really one command for a child. What is it? Obey mom and dad, right? There's really not many commands for us as adults either. We trust the Lord and obey Him and follow through. But the problem comes back to it's me. I get in the way. Abram will later have some mistakes, make some mistakes, fall into some problems. And all the things that come. Next week, we'll look a little bit more at this as we follow through. But Lot, once again, comes into the picture, and Abram has to go save him as he's trusting the process. Now, again, Abram goes through his life bitter, many problems. He was never blaming God, none of that. But he had a lot of problems. He had a lot of issues. His wife would eventually pass, have issues. His son, he would have a son, you know that. And as soon as he has a son and everything seems right, God says, Abraham, yes, take him up, take him to Mount Moriah, take him there, and I want you to offer him. And Abraham says, you mean my son? He says, yes, your son. And just as he's about to complete the task, the angel stops him and comes and says, now I know, you will not literally, you will do anything that I ask you to do. And we see here, this is a tough process. Just to bring in perspective for us tonight, I don't think any of us, God would ask us to do anything like that. It was a great task that He knew He could trust to a great man of faith. And so where are we tonight? Is God allowing something? Some of you have some big decisions to make in the coming weeks. Big decisions. What am I going to do? How am I going to go about this? Your faith and the world are about to collide for a lot of us, but some of you in a lot of ways. And what comes in the new year? I don't know. But it's going to collide here very soon. We're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to trust God in the Word of God and His promises, or am I going to trust the world and what they tell me? And I know everyone in here will trust the Word of God. But it's going to take a faith in God, a God that you need to come back to daily and find out His promises and have that renewed in your heart and in your life so that you can say, as Abram said, I will go, I'll go. How could you do that, Abram? Because I know the God. He's been and dealt with me many, many times before, many times. I've seen it happen. I've experienced the Lord God in my life. I've seen Him come through when we had no idea. We knew we couldn't have kids, 90 plus years old, knew we couldn't. And He came through and He provided. He did exactly what He said He's going to do. You and I know that. He'll do exactly what He said He's going to do. Are you trusting the process tonight? Are you believing in Him? Allow Him to have His work in your life. Paul says, I know what He started, He'll finish. If you'll trust and obey and follow and have a sweet spirit about it, like-minded, as He says and shows us. A few more things we'll cover a little next week, but trust in God and all that He does. Amen? I hope you are. Remind you this week, spend time in the Bible. I know it sounds like a broken record, but spend time in the Bible. Spend time in prayer. Spend time close to Him. And you will not regret 1 ounce of time you spend with the Lord. Amen. We know that. Trust Him. Be close to Him. And step out by faith. If He's asking you to do something by faith, never hesitate. As I said the week before that, when God comes and He's vague, we're not really sure. There's not a lot of details. But you know He's pointing you in that direction. You can step out by faith, even if it's vague. There's not a lot of detail. You're trusting the God of the promise of the Word of God and all that He's done and the saints past as well, the great examples. That's the God we serve. We trust Him. Okay? All right. I'll stop there. Thank you for listening so well tonight. A wonderful day we've had today in church, and I hope you've been blessed. And we'll continue next week with this, hopefully. See you Wednesday, hopefully, and Lord willing. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank You again for this time tonight as You've blessed us so richly, provided for us, Lord, and we thank You for the opportunity, and I thank You for that. I know that those here tonight are no doubt tired, and they have a long week ahead of them, and I pray for them that they get some rest tonight, and tomorrow be able to spend some time with You, and then, Lord, head out for their day. I do pray You'd help us, Lord, as we think about You're working in all of our lives in different areas and in different ways. All of us have different temptations. All of us deal with different areas in our lives. We struggle, maybe. We know that we can come back to You. You promised us, just as You did with Abram, Lord, time and time and time again, You renewed and reminded him of Your promise and Your covenant with him. May we come to you this week. Lord, we love and thank you. Be with our nation tonight as we pray. This week is going to be a long week as we think ahead. And we pray for your guidance, especially for thy imminent return. And Lord, especially the loved ones that are not saved. Lord, give us the wisdom and the opportunity to reach them. We love and thank you once again. In Jesus' precious name, and amen. Amen. Thank you.